Him this morning, because you are alive not by your righteousness, you are alive not by your fasting. Your life this morning is by the mercy of the Most High God. Somebody begin to appreciate God for His goodness upon your life. Begin to celebrate His mercy, His loving kindness upon your life. You are not better than those that slept last night. This morning they are no more. His mercy has found you. His mercy found you to be alive this day. Some that were more earlier, they could not wake up this morning. But you and I were enjoying the mercy of the Lord. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the honor. appreciate his loving kindness. Appreciate his mercy. Give him all the glory. He's worthy to be worshipped. It's not of him that willeth, neither of him that runneth, but of him that showeth mercy. It's not the blessing of the Lord that we are not consumed. For his comfort of your mercy. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. We celebrate your mercy. And so our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all honor for your mercy and your compassion over our lives. It is by your mercy that we are not consumed. Many arrows were fired. Many things were done to ensure that we did not wake up this morning. But your mercy has found us. And that is why we are appreciating you this day. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you on behalf of our loved ones. We thank you for all your goodness upon our lives. We thank you for sound mind and sound earth you have given unto us to be able to come to your sanctuary this morning to do that which you have ordained us for. Father, accept our thanks once again in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit our brethren on their way to the service, Lord. We pray that you hasten their footsteps to your sanctuary in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit all our brethren all over the world connected to this service, oh Lord. We pray that this day, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, that your presence will be made manifest in this service in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, you have not called the house of Jacob to seek you in vain. We have come with expectation. And your word says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Father, we pray every desire of your children this day shall be granted in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray as we are gathered that your presence, O Lord, will dwell so much in our lives that every need will be granted in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our worship this day, Lord. We shall be going into the Sunday school, Lord, we pray. You have given unto us the mysteries of your kingdom. Father, we pray that you open our eyes of understanding in this study and grant us revelations of the mysteries of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here to study you so that we can have a better relationship with you and have a better relationship with one another. Father, come and take preeminence of all which I do this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. By the end of today's service, Lord, we pray that each and every one of us of a truth will testify that we have met with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dependable God, for in Jesus' most glorious name we pray. Can you celebrate the Lord Jesus?
Our God is an awesome God.
You may be seated. As nothing could stop the showers of blessings, so nothing will stop your blessing this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. As you defy all odds to come to his presence, you have not come to meet with man, but you have come to meet with the great eternal spirit. And he, God, you have come to meet with this day. We meet you at the point of your need in the name of Jesus Christ. So very quickly, we shall be going straight into the Sunday school to study what the Lord has for us this morning. And the topic before us this day for our Sunday school is the sixth judgment. We want to look at the sixth judgment as revealed in the New Testament. The sixth judgment in the New Testament. The scriptures are very replete about the judgments of God. When you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, Let's look at the scripture. Just to take some scriptures that has to do with judgment. He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Judgment. That is the scripture. When we are looking at judgment, I just want us to look at some scriptures that talk about judgment before we now look at the various judgments that await every one of us are still alive and those that are already dead. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, chapter 22, verse 12. Revelation chapter 22. Please say study. Make sure you are with your pen and paper. Because there is so much confusion about the judgment of God. And we as the bride of Christ, we must not be in such confusion. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Say, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That is the scripture. It's coming to give for judgment. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, a popular scripture, before we begin to delve into the study proper. It's a popular scripture. And it says, and as it is appointed unto men, once to die, and what happens after? I can't hear you. Once to die, but after this, the judgment. So there are many more scriptures that talk about the judgment of God. Let's have the introduction. Because there are so many scriptures about judgment, so many believers are confused. Praise the Lord. Judgment. The scriptures are very replete. So many scriptures talk about the judgment of God. And it is very, very important to us as the bride of Christ that we study this judgment so that we will not be confused like so many Christians out there. Well, God has ordained us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He has given us the revelation of his word. We cannot afford to be confused like the religious world. So that's why this morning we want to do justice to these various, the six judgments as revealed in the New Testament. But many believers are confused about God's various judgments in the New Testament. While some believe that they are past God's judgment because they are now in Christ. Many have such belief. Others believe they will go to heaven though they missed the rapture. Unfortunately, these beliefs and many others, they hold on to are erroneous. The New Testament reveals six distinct judgments. And it is certain you and I that are still alive, or those that are even dead, it's a matter of certainty. Now, out of this six judgment, you must experience one or two. So it is so important. Since none of us can escape this judgment, at least one or two, it is important as the bride of Christ that we must understand these various judgments as revealed in the New Testament. So this morning, like I said, we are looking at the six judgments as seen in the Bible. Number one, the first slide. Okay, before we go into the definition, judgment can simply be defined as a misfortune or calamity viewed as a divine punishment. So you've committed and you have done an action, what you suffer as a consequence. A punishment. You view it as a punishment for what you have done. So number one, judgment. It's what we call the judgment of believers when they sin. That is the first judgment. The judgment of believers when they commit sin. And I want every one of us to be very, very attentive now. Do we, as believers, receive judgment from God when we sin against Him? Brethren, it is important that we know this. That as believers, born again Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, that ye have not received the spirit of fear, of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which you cry, Abba, Father. When you are born again, that the spirit of God, born again by the spirit of God, that spirit in you is a spirit that makes you to have this father and son relationship with God. And as a son of God, you cannot live anyhow. As a son of God, as a daughter of God, you cannot live anyhow. For every sin that you commit, God will judge you for it. Because He deals with you as a son, as a daughter. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. As a believer, you cannot live anyhow because the Spirit of God in you, that Spirit ensures a father and son relationship. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my soul. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chasteneth because of his love for you, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as who? As who? For what son is he whom the father chasteneth? Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all the children of God are partakers of this judgment, then ye are bastards and not sons. You can read it all up to verse 11. That is because you are sons and daughters. When you commit sins, you receive the chastisement from God. And that chastisement is judgment. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. 1 Corinthians chapter. Please pay attention here. Therefore, if we judge ourselves, that is, we are careful about what we do, that we don't live anyhow, we should not be judged. Are you saying something? If you examine yourself, you are very careful about the way you go about your lives. That is when you will not be judged like the world. Verse 32. Please pay attention to this scripture. There's something very deep there. But when we are judged, this judge there is talking about the chastisement. We are chastened of the law. For what reason? That we should not be condemned with the world. Even this scripture suggests, makes us to know that as we are experiencing the chastisement of the law, the destruction of the world, this scripture alone makes us to know that because of the chastisement we are receiving from the law now as judgment, we have passed the judgment of the world. If you read that verse 32, it says, so that we will not be condemned. That is talking about the destruction, the judgment that will come upon this world after the rapture. If you are being judged by the Lord now, you have automatically escaped the judgment of the world. It's a very deep one. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. That is the father-son relationship that exists between you and God. Will not allow God to condone your sinful practices. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Okay. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. if he commits iniquity, this is talking about Solomon. If he commits what? Iniquity. I will do what? I can't hear you. I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Can you see? God chastens us because we are his children. As believers, if you are a child of God and you are living in iniquity and nothing is happening to you, it's either of two reasons. Whether God is exercising his long-suffering nature towards you, that you will change. Or what? You are not his son. It's either God is giving you opportunity to repent so that you come back to that relationship, or it is an evidence. Anyone you see, no matter the anointing is exercising, if he's living in iniquity and nothing is happening, he's not suffering any judgment, it's a clear evidence that he has no relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. That is the first judgment. Now let's, the second judgment, that is the judgment of unbelievers, say in hell. Brethren, the relationship of father-son relationship, the father-son relationship that exists between you and the heavenly God, such relationship does not exist between God and the unbelievers. And that is why an unbeliever can live anyhow. He has already concluded their end. But you, a believer, a son and daughter of God, you can't live anyhow. An unbeliever can prosper in iniquities. He can enjoy all the things, can do all the manipulation, live in sinful practices, and yet things will be happening. Why? Because there is no father-son relationship. It's not his son. Why should he bother? It's, even naturally, if somebody who is not your daughter, your son, is living anyhow, the best you can do is just to call him and advise. There's nothing you can do because it's not your son, it's not your daughter. But that which that is your son and your daughter, if he messes up, you extend the rod of discipline. So, unbeliever, because of that father-son relationship that doesn't exist between them and God, he has concluded their judgment. And where? In air, Matthew chapter 10, when an unbeliever dies, he goes to hell. Say, and Matthew 10, 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 19. This is a popular scripture. That is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the cloth which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. See your estates. And was carried by who? By who? By the angels into Abraham's bosom. See what happens when a believer dies. See where he goes. Now, the rich man also died and was buried. Look at where he's found. Where is he found? Not all rich men know there are rich men that are children of God and are living. If they die, they don't go to hell. This one is because he's not a believer. If he die without receiving Christ, it is hell. And from hell, it's a matter at the white throne judgment, you'll be cast into where? Lake of fire. So the first judgment that happens to unbeliever when they die, despite their prosperity now and whatsoever, they are living anyhow, they go to air. And air is not a place of peace. It's a place of what? It's a place of what? Torment. Those that die even this morning without Christ, that is where they are going. They will be in that pain. They will be in that pain, that torment. And that is just the beginning of the suffering. And it is an admonition to every one of us. To every one of us. Not to go to hell. And his only way to escape it is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not about being a church member. It's not about you answering any title. You can be a church member. You can be holding a title. You can even be prophesying. And yet, Matthew 7, 21, at the end of it, we say, I did not know you. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. So that is the second judgment. We have seen the judgment of unbeliever in hell. Let's move very quickly. The third judgment as seen in the scripture. That is the judgment seat of Christ. This one now does not concern unbelievers. See, the first one has to do with believer. The second one has to do with who? Unbelievers. This one here, the judgment seat of Christ. This one is exclusive for the believers. It is exclusive for the believer. And it is so important that we pay attention to this. The judgment seat of Christ. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Therefore, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that, he has done, whether he be good or bad. In whose body? In whose body? Is it in your own body? I can't hear you. In the body of Christ. Brethren, when you are born again by the Spirit of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, what does it say? He said, by one Spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. As we have been baptized into that body, there is a role to play. Say, every joint in that body supplies something. This is must be very, very explained. Because many of us, we have come to Christ. All we are expecting or waiting for is the rapture or the goodies. Or the benefit of the cross of Calvary. We have forgotten that as you are now being baptized, there is a role to play. We have been saved to partner with God to save others. Praise the Lord. So, whatever you are doing in his body, Luke chapter 19, I think verse 13, when he was going, he said, occupy till I come. He gave talents. Can we see? And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, do what? Occupy till I come. Did he say you should just go to church and become benchwarmers? Did he say you should just go to church and clap your hands, worship him, pray and receive testimonies? What is he saying there? Are we too cold? Occupy. How do you occupy? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17. See how you occupy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Please pay attention. Every man, you and I, born again Christian. Don't say, I don't have any gift to profit. He said, to every man, to do what? To profit with that. If you are truly born again by the Spirit of the Lord, your salvation, that Spirit you have received, that is a gift. That is all. We saw it. We saw the teachings on Friday night. As a born again child of God, born again by the Spirit of the Lord, you have a gift which you are to use to affect that body of Christ positively. He has given them talents. Talents. And they are supposed to trade with those talents. Work with it. Every one of us, you and I, has a gift. If truly we are born again. And if we study that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see all the body gifts there. The gift of the word of knowledge, the working of miracle, of faith, of healing, doing signs and wonders, all of us, we have it in various measures. And when we have gone in the rapture, When the rapture takes place, for these 7 years, we are giving account of what we did in his body. And it is on the basis of our account, explanation of how we use the gift he has given to us, that we are going to be rewarded. That is what that is. We, all of us will appear. That place is a judgment. Judgment seat of God is a judgment unto rewards for Christ, who has given us that gift to reward us. So it is so important that you should discover your own gift and ensure that you trade with it. Praise the Lord. For if you read that story, that you will find out that the person that received his own gift, you saw the judgment that the Lord met on him for hiding his own talent, for not using it. I pray this morning that all of us will discover the gift of God in our life and we maximize it to affect the body of Christ positively in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 14:10, just to Romans chapter 14, verse 10, the same thing. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all, it's not all everybody in the world though, it's talking about all the believers, born again Christians, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. How many judgments have we explained now? How many judgments? The first one, the judgment of believers, the chastisement of the law, the judgment of unbelievers, number two, and the third one, the judgment seat of Christ. We are still moving on. Now we want to look at the fourth judgment. That's how to do with the judgment of nations. Judgment of nations. We pay attention. When Romans chapter 11 verse 25 is fulfilled, that's talking about the fullness of the Gentile. Fullness. The last state, until the fullness of the Gentile becoming the salvation we are enjoying today, you and I know. You and I know that this salvation is not forever. It has a time frame. The last elect, Gentile elect, when he comes in and receives Christ, salvation will be what? Will be over. And what happens? God resumes his program. With who? With who? With who? With the Jews. Remember, according to 70 weeks of Daniel, he suspended the last week. He suspended it to come to save the Gentiles. When the last Gentile has come in, then he resumes his program with the Jews to fulfill the last week, the 70th week of the weeks of Daniel. And when that one begins, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he said that's talking about the Antichrist. Okay, this is, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. For how many weeks? For how many weeks? Who is confirming? It is the Antichrist. Remember, the rapture has taken place. We are with the Lord. For the 7 years we are there. Now, the Antichrist has moved. If you study Revelation chapter 11, the Antichrist now has moved into Jerusalem. He has entered into a covenant of peace with the political Jews. But the covenant of peace, according to Isaiah 28, verse 18, that is actually the covenant of death. Because in the midst of the covenant, let's read that Daniel chapter. Daniel, okay. If you go home, you can study it. According to Isaiah 28, 18, it was, he deceived them to enter the covenant of peace. But in actual sense, it was the covenant of what? Of death. For because in the midst of that covenant, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Look at it. In the midst of the week, what shall happen? It shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What is the? Can we divide 7 into 2? 7 divided by 2 is what? 3.5 years. So after the 3.5 years, the old world seems to be enjoying peace in the middle of it. Let's read Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. IT. Let's take it from verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. You know, immediately as the Antichrist is reigning, God, because he has started his program to fulfill that last week, he has raised the two prophets, which we see in this chapter as the olive trees, the two anointed ones. These ones are prophesying, exposing the Antichrist. These two olive trees prophesy for how many years? 1,203 scores. That is 1,260. That is their prophecy. And this period is the same thing as the 3.5 years. Immediately that the years passed, the 3.5 years, the Bible says, according to Daniel 7, it broke the covenant. What happens? Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 verse 14. And to the woman, this is Israel, were given two wings as of great eagle, as we can see. That's why we say the beast of eagle is for the Israel. That she might fly into wilderness, into a place where she's nourished. How many? Please pay attention here to confirm the 3.5 years. She's nourished. A time, that's number one. Times 2 years and a half time. That is what? Half. Make it how many? 3.5 years. Now, immediately after the 3.5 years has passed and he broke the covenant and it began, let's read verse 15. Say, and the serpent cast out, there is the devil, of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. This is talking about the persecutions that the Jews will go through after those two prophets has revealed who he is. Let's read on. That he might cause out to be carried. Now, and the earth. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as flood. This is the persecution. After the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16. And the earth, please pay attention here, help the woman. The earth help the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the floor with the dragon cast out of his mouth. This scripture is talking about when the Antichrist is persecuting the Jews as they are running for safety. Running for safety, the various places they're onto for safety, for help, the nations that help them during that period, there is a judgment for them. While those that refuse them help, there is also a judgment of the law. And that is what we see in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. Can we read it? The individuals, when the Antichrist busy persecuting the Jews, said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. And a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. The sheep are those earth that help the Jews. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now pay attention here. For when I was hungered, I know this scripture, even those of us that are in hospital and prison ministry, we apply these scriptures to us. But primarily, this scripture is for the Jews. Say, for I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Look at this. When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Say, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. The brethren is talking about the Jews that have been persecuted by the Antichrist. The reign of the Antichrist for the Jews. So as they are moving, the individuals that help them during that time will be judged. And those that refuse them help will also experience judgment. Let's continue reading. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Verse 41. And then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, this the goats are those that refuse the Jews when they were being massacred. When they will be massacred by the Antichrist, those that will turn them down, he refers to them as the goats. And because they refuse them help, they are also judged. Look at their judgment. Into everlasting fire. Why those sheep that help those Jews, they are given opportunity to go into the millennium. Praise the Lord. That is talking about the judgment of nations. Praise Master Jesus. Are we following? Are we following? That is number four. The fifth one has to do with the judgment day of the Lord. Remember, we have gone in the rapture. How many years are we staying over there before we come down? How many years? 7 years. It is while we are there that all this is dealing with the Jews, and the Antichrist began his reign and began to massacre them. As soon as his reign, as it was being, will be persecuting the Jews, when Jesus Christ will be coming down with us to come and take to set the millennium reign, the 1,000 years, his rule on this earth, as we are coming down. The various things that will be happening is what we describe as the day of the Lord. And it is another judgment. As we see in, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. All these scriptures, there are too many. And to you who are troubled, talking to you and I, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed, when is he going to be revealed? This is after the rapture. Shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. And in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is when he's coming. You can read the rest when you get home. The day of the Lord. The things that will be happening just before Jesus Christ comes to take over, to rule together with us on this earth. If we read Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. But let's just pay attention to verse 17, because John described that period, verse 17. And the great day of his wrath. You know, we are in the day of salvation now, when it is over. Those that turned down this salvation, see, and they are still alive, they did go in the rapture. He said, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? He described it as the day of his wrath. What if you read from that verse 12, it said the moon will be turned to blood. If you study from verse 12 to verse 17. Malachi described that day as a dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. He said, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. This will be things that will happen that day. It's not something that any of us here will desire. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Describe that period as, he said, woe unto him, Amos chapter 5, verse 18, that desire the day of the Lord. Woe unto you. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Praise the Lord. Isaiah also described it as a day of his fierce anger in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12 to 13. The day of his fierce anger. I will make a man more precious. This is when the judgment is on. See what will happen to man. We have about how many billions in the world today? Maybe over 6 billion or 7. Say, I will make a man, look at how few human beings. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. John called it the day of wrath. Amos. He said, woe unto him. Even in Daniel, he said he called it a day of trouble. Even in Joel, he called it a terrible day of the Lord. Sun will turn into darkness. The scriptures are there. Even 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. He said it will come like a thief in the night. He said the fervent heat will melt the heavens. None of us here will witness that period in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be among those that will be coming with the Lord to take, to rule with him in the millennium in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, the last, I think we have talked about five so far, right? The last one, which is the white throne judgment. This one too does not have to do with believer. This, the white throne judgment, as seen in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. It is a judgment for you. This one is coming after the 1,000 years reign. And anyone that is called into judgment is just for you to know, because books will be open, for you to know where you are going to where? The lake of fire. Let's read. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Let's read on. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, those that died, and they didn't go in the rapture, and they were in the sea. And death and hell, I told you, when a believer dies, goes to hell. And hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into where? Into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Finally, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is in the book of life, you will accept Jesus, you will go with him in the rapture, and you will come and rule with him in the millennium. You cannot be part. The second, the white throne judgment is for the unbelievers. Praise the Lord. As a recap, 6 judgments has revealed. Number 1, the judgment of the believers. So brethren, as a child of God, as a son and daughter of God, we cannot live our life anyhow. The spirit of sonship is enough. That is what every believer should know. You should be careful if you are living a life that is not pleasing with God and you are prospering. It will shake you to make you run to the cross. So you don't know that it simply means you have no relationship. If you die, it is hell. If you are being judged, that is one of the reasons. Because we are being judged now, we are past the judgment of the world. Because we are expressing this present judgment of being chastised of the law, the next judgment waiting for us is the judgment seat of Christ, whereby we are going to give account of what we did with our gifts. There is no more judgment. The belief that after the rapture, there is still judgment that the believer will face. That for those that they will pay with their blood, it is not scriptural. It cannot be substantiated with this scripture. You saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. It said we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned. The tribulation that the world is talking about, it is actually the persecution of the Jews. The persecution of the Jews. We, you and I, have gone in the rapture. An unbeliever that dies now goes to hell and be waiting there until the white throne judgment. Are we together? And the judgment of nations. And after that, the day of the Lord. And at the end of it, the last one, the white throne judgment. These are the 6 judgments as seen in the Bible. Now, before, let me, so that in case you do not understand, let me give opportunity for at least two questions. In case you don't understand or what I spoke is not clear, let me give opportunity for at least one or two people.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
In one of the books, it said the book was opened.
Yeah.
And another book. Please, can you differentiate the two books?
It said books were opened and a book
of life.
The books that were open, the books of all your activities that you are doing. All what you are doing, record is being taken. How you are living your life. The book of life is not books, one book. That is the book that contains the name of those, the names of all the seed of God. These ones, they will not witness the second death. The books talk about your activities. You know, like it said in that Revelation 20:11, it said books were open and they were judged according to what is written. That is talking about the way what you are doing now, record is being taken. Remember, it is pertaining to the unbeliever. Record is being taken. All the practices, how you are conducting, comporting your life, record is taken. So, you know, at that place, it's for you to be told the reason why it will not be your portion. For those that will be at that judgment, why they are going to hell. The armed robber now, the life is living, the fornicator, record is taken. Why the book of life, that one is one book that contains all the eternal beings. Praise the Lord. Did I answer you well? Say shalom, sir. You spoke about other nations that will help the Jews in their time of tribulation during the 3.5 years will be given an opportunity to go in the millennium. My question is, who are these nations? Because I thought by this time the rapture of the Gentiles would have taken place. Yes, I said, the individuals, it only use nations. It's described as nations. They are the individuals that will help them. Let's read Revelation chapter so that it can become clearer. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. It says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, it's talking about the people the Jews that have been killed during the Holocaust. They are the one crying for vengeance in that place. Now, their brethren that as the Antichrist is persecuting the Jews, they are reigning. As the Antichrist is persecuting the Jews and they are running Eta Sketa. It is not a nation. It is as it is put there. The individuals, remember Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He said, I will bless them that bless. He's talking about the lineage of Abraham. I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. So it is just a privilege. Okay, let's take this call. Okay, Prophet, can you be louder? Volume. The mighty angels.
The mighty angels that will come in with me after 7 years.
Which scripture?
You quote Colossians chapter 3. He said, after the rapture,
we are the one that those of us that went with him, we are coming back to rule with.
Are we the mighty angels that the Bible is referring to?
The angels too. The bride of Christ are coming with him to rule. The angels, we are not the angels. So the bride that goes with that has come to rapture, we are coming. But the other angels, I think it is in Matthew, the scripture you want to quote is Matthew chapter 24. Verse.
Thank you.
Let's read Matthew 24. Verse 29. Let's take it from there. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give the light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And this is talking about the day of the Lord. And heaven shall be shaken. Verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels. See, this is the scripture you are referring to. With great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, and they pass from one end of heaven to the. Okay, let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. But we, the bride of Christ, that have gone with him, we are coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. 18. And to you who are troubled, I think I've quoted this scripture. Who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the angels too will come with him, but we are not the angels. Brother Femi. Okay. He said, my question is, who are these nations? I think they are the individual. Even in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. He described it as the earth. When the dragon cast out the flood, that is the persecution, he said the earth that helped them to contain the terror. But that help they are giving to the Jews, God, if you read that Matthew chapter 25, from verse 31 to the end, he gave them everlasting life. They entered into the millennium. The person that wrote that sent for this, I don't know if I answer you correctly. Brethren, if there are other questions concerning this judgment, you can send in your question during the Ask Your Pastor, and justice will be done to your question in the name of Jesus Christ. If I've been blessed by the revelation of the Word of God this morning, bow down your heads and begin to thank God for opening your eyes to see the truth that we are learning.